We're starting a new book today. We're going to go to 1 Peter. This is Peter's first letter, and it was written somewhere between 65 AD and 67 AD. And Peter writes to the Jewish believers that are in Asia Minor. And in chapter 5, the 13th verse of the first epistle, Peter refers to greetings from Babylon. Now, that's peculiar terminology. However, Babylon is possibly a code word in the early church. John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, used the term Babylon. And it was a reference to the condition of Rome. And if we assume Babylon, meaning Rome, then these two epistles of Peter were written while Peter awaits death in Rome. For Peter, he will be crucified in Rome, and upon his own request, he requests to be crucified upside down. And I don't think Peter wanted to be suffering crucifixion in the same way that his Lord and Savior suffered crucifixion. But there's some questions as to these two epistles of Peter. They're given his name because the writings of these two epistles are so contrary to the life that we saw Peter live as a disciple. And Peter writes in profound manner. But he was a lowly fisherman, uneducated fisherman, except that he was Jesus' disciples. He was not known for his deep theological writings. But remember when the leaders, the Jewish leaders, were amazed at the disciples because they realized the disciples had been with Jesus. Jesus had had his effect upon the disciples. And they alluded to Peter's intellect and John, and of course, but Peter and the other disciples, they lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. And that had a profound effect on their life. And Peter in his epistles will write of deep things of the Christian life during the generation after Jesus was resurrected. Jesus did not choose Peter or the other disciples on a whim, but after much prayer over the selection of the disciples, Jesus made his decisions. So as we journey, as we look at 1 Peter and 2 Peter, notice the change that is in Peter from the time he was this rambunctious disciple until the time where he writes his two epistles. And the one word that brought attention to me was Peter uses the word precious. We don't see Peter using that as a disciple. He's a rough and tumble fisherman. But in his two epistles, he uses the word precious. And indeed, Jesus was precious to Peter. And Peter was a good student of Jesus and his teaching. So let's read the first two verses of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Peter begins with, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was, as many think, the obvious leader among the disciples. And the name Peter is mentioned more times in the gospel than any other name except Jesus. Only Jesus is mentioned more than Peter in the New Testament. Some of the things about Peter that we gather from the book of Acts and in the other gospel was Peter was rebuked more than any other apostle by Jesus. He had that distinction. Peter even took it upon himself to rebuke Jesus when Jesus began to talk about his death and crucifixion. Peter confessed Jesus in a most accurate way than any other of the disciples. Peter was also known for his denial of Jesus before a lowly servant girl in the courtyard of the high priest. In Mark 1:35, we're told that Peter, he led the other disciples on a hunt for Jesus, only to tell Jesus what he should then do. Peter was not shy. After the resurrection, Peter tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." And they chime in, "Well, we're going too." Peter was the only one in the boat when Jesus come walking to him on the water, then said to him, "Lord, if that's you, call me to come to you." And Jesus called Peter to come to him, and Peter did. Peter walked on the water. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? And who does man say that I am?" And Peter declares, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter also was privy to go on to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there he sees Moses and Elijah with Jesus. But Peter also had questions when Jesus talked about forgiveness, and he kind of boasted, and he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive? 7 times? And the Lord said, 70 times 7, Peter. Don't count them. Just keep forgiving." When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, Peter objected. He says, "Lord, don't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me." And then Peter says, "Well, wash all of me." Peter was warned by Jesus of his denial before he denied Jesus. For Peter had said in confidence, "I will die before I deny you, Jesus." But Peter needed to see his own weakness in the flesh. When Jesus was arrested in the garden, Peter brings out a sword, hacks off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, giving Jesus another miracle to perform. Jesus put the ear back on. Peter and John run to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday. John stops outside of the tomb. Peter goes inside the tomb to see where Jesus had laid. Upon Jesus' resurrection, Peter receives a personal visit from Jesus on the day of the resurrection, where Jesus restores Peter. And last week, we looked at how Jesus questioned Peter and Peter's love for him. 3 times, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And then Jesus said, "Do you love me even like a brother?" And Peter had to confess, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you, even if my love is only a brotherly love." So we have Peter, along with the other disciples, and they become known as apostles. They're not known as prophets. They're not known as teachers or evangelists, but simply They are apostles of Jesus. Paul, in his many writings of the New Testament, will begin many of his epistles with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, he doesn't bother to do that. There's no unbelief, there's no doubt about Peter as being an apostle. So Peter, he just said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And so Peter writes his letter, and he tells who he's writing his letter to, and it's to the pilgrims that he writes. A pilgrim is a person who lives a temporary existence wherever they are, waiting upon their future home, which is in heaven. They're waiting for their true home. And so Peter writes to the pilgrims, those that are waiting for the return of Jesus, those that are living life in a temporary fashion. And Peter writes to the early church, who has been dispersed, and they've been dispersed after the resurrection because of persecution. So Peter writes to those of the dispersion. A group of believers scattered throughout Asia and parts of Europe were of this dispersion, where the Christians had scattered. In verse 2, Peter tells early Christians, you are the elect. And you're the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Elect and sanctified by the Spirit of God. We too, because we believe, are the elect. God has sought us out, he has chosen us, and he has given us the free gift of salvation, and for this reason we are elect. Now the Jews are elect in a different way, but that's, as Christians, we are of the elect. And being obedient to the grace of Jesus, who shed his blood for us. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you as the elect. How often do we say our goodbyes with grace and peace be multiplied to you? Nobody talks that way today. We say things like, see you later. Take care, my friend. Or God go with you, perhaps, if we feel real spiritual. But Peter, he will now speak words of hope to his readers. And that's in verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And so Peter, he drops right into blessing God, praising God in his own way. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was a worshiper. Now, I close my sermons with the Lord bless you. And that's about as far as I go with it. But this is a praise by Peter to God the Father for being a loving, gracious God. When Peter thinks about God, he goes, blessed be our God. Blessed, or to be praised, is our Father God. And he praises God for his Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have salvation. And praise God for the abundant mercy shown and demonstrated to men by the mercies originated in and through Jesus. When God the Father and the Son, when they look upon us, their response begins to us through mercy. They look upon us as being in need. And we, in and of ourselves, only by God's mercy do we stand. It's because He looked upon us and loved us, and His heart went out to us. If we were to seek justice from God, we would only be condemned. I'm glad He doesn't hold us accountable, but He gives us forgiveness. And we're not holy. We look upon ourselves holy only through the eyes of Jesus, not as being holy, because we're sinful by nature. Holiness is not a natural trait for mankind, for we're sinful. And when we consider the power of God, it can consume us. It can be crushing to us when we really observe the power of God. Now, we pray, and sometimes this power of God creeps into our prayers, and we say, Lord, we know You can heal. We know You can comfort. All things are possible to You, for You are all powerful. But we hesitate to ask for the power of God to be demonstrated right before us. We kind of hedge our prayer. We kind of back away from wanting God to demonstrate His holy power right before us. The thought of God's power is beyond the sphere of our reason. And the truth of God, it can be overwhelming to us. The truth of God can appear even threatening to us as mortals. And we wonder, who can live out the law of God? Now, the Jews tried for centuries to obey the law, but they only complicated the law. They wrote more laws than were given there to Moses. Our hope in the Lord comes by the Lord having mercy upon us. Our relationship began with God when He looked at us and saw that we needed mercy. Mercy happens to be God's starting point for us. Our salvation, being born again, starts through God's mercy. Peter tells us, God has begotten us again, or looked upon us as needing salvation. We need the salvation of our Lord. We're given a living hope through mercy. And mercy is demonstrated through Jesus and His cross. It's our hope. It's in the salvation of our hope, for we have received mercy. The gift of eternal life, the gift of being with our Lord after this life is over, we're reserved for heaven. We're not held to some philosophy of man, but we have God who looked upon us in mercy and granted us salvation. The starting point of God's favor upon mankind is His mercy. For mercy brought the power of God and His salvation to us, undeserving mankind. Now, to reject God's gift of mercy is to reject God. It's an awesome thing that God would declare His Son to go to the cross for our salvation through mercy, and then for mankind and his unbelief and stubbornness to reject God's love. Don't find yourself ever rejecting the mercy of God. Wear it like a badge of honor. Amen. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, while we were yet sinners, you looked upon us and loved us, and you gave us mercy. You gave us your Son to suffer the cross that we might have a relationship with you. And that was done when you looked upon us in mercy. You saw our need of a Savior, and you gave your own Son. Thank you, Lord, for being compassionate, for being a loving, caring God. And so we thank you, Lord. We openly thank you for your mercy and your love towards us. May we never take it for granted. May we always boast of your love and your mercy. And thank you again, Lord, for loving us to the point of providing salvation for us. Through your mercy, we can stand here before you as your children and say, praise you, the living Father, the living God of mercy. And so we do that. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.